I think that kind of goes with the word that I received just throughout whatever it was yesterday. I didn't know. But I had to come back to this, the comfort that we have. God has, first of all, given us a comfort. We get that comfort because of our relationship with Him through that of Jesus Christ. We begin that very first step of, I believe, that comfort with God, knowing that with Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior and His blood, that my sins have been cleansed from me. And then now I have eternity prepared for me because of Jesus. And when we come to that realization, that should bring comfort to us at that time. Because we don't know what this world holds, right? We don't know when our very life will be required of us. But it's to be ready and be prepared. But we find comfort, even though in the unknown, we find comfort not knowing. Because I do know. I do know who holds the future. I do know who has the power. I do know who can change the course of a river. I know who can cause a river to separate and that I could cross it on dry ground if I need to. That's the God that I serve. That's the God that I pray to. That's the God that I look up to. And that's the God that I want to be around every day. Amen? I want to be around Him. I want Him in my very sphere of where I'm at. And He's there. I know He's there. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. His word is there to give me strength and to encourage me on my way. And so we turn to His word when we have things come across our lives. Whether it's like instantly you're given news of something that was catastrophic and things could have been whatever. And it's like, oh dear Lord, thank you Lord for what you're about. And even when people are going through a suffering time, it is a hurtful time. It is a hard time. It is a sad time. But I know a God that can work through those things and bring a peace and comfort as only He can by the way He wants to work it. And so we go, well, how do you want to work it that way, God? And it might be to where He might speak to us, you, me, to say, go. And to be that voice of mine in that situation. We can do a monumental thing by that of prayer, no matter where we're at and no matter where that situation is around the world. Because we know God's hand can touch and reach down. I can pray here and He can bring safety and healing and protection to somebody across the world into another land. But it's my mere prayer and my understanding and my faith that I stand on that when I cry out to God, that I know He hears these things. And that's why sometimes when we're going through this election cycle and we're going through the craziness of our government and we're going through the craziness of this world and there is so much at odds right now. The Middle East is a hotbed. You know, it was peaceful for a while, but even, I'm going to tell you, even when nothing was going on over there, there was evil going on. There was underlying things taking place that we didn't understand. We didn't know because it was in the darkness that they were preparing to do things. And especially against the people of Israel and wanting to annihilate them. And so they're in the midst of a battle now raging on like two or three fronts, Israel is. And as Linda brought up, and I do remember seeing that in a news thing, but I know, when I'm at home by myself, I can say it. When I get in front of you guys, I get nervous. Benjamin Notton, not, yeah. Not me and not him. Anyway, God, isn't that great though? But God knows who I'm talking about. Okay? You know, that's who my God is. But, you know, possibly a drone to take him out. And, you know, former President Trump. Campaigning has had a couple of attempts of assassination attempts. Three, I think. Well, the third one, potentially. He wasn't on the grounds, but yet they caught the guy and all that, and he's kind of one of those guys. But anyway, so All of these things are taking place, but it's all being done underhanded, and now it's coming to light. Now we're seeing the evil. We've always known there's evil out there, right? But now we're seeing it come into light, and they don't really care who sees it anymore. The devil has gotten very bold and very brash, and he's almost like he's wagging his finger at us, like, look what I'm doing, look what I'm capable of. Oh, but he's picked the wrong one to fight with, because the battle is already won, and he's already defeated. And he just wants to make a way right now to cause us worries and concerns and get us in an upheaval. But here it is. We've got to go at a steady pace of it's all in God's hands. And God is in control. But he's going to use you, me, us, church, whatever, to pray for these situations. We have got to take our rightful place as prayer warriors. You're all prayer warriors, but I've not been called to pray. If you're a child of God, you've been called to pray. You may not be the powerful one out there and having, you know, a big, you know, ministry or whatever out there, or doing a lot of things online or in a community, but in your home, in your living room, out in your backyard, you're praying. Amen? And that one prayer from you is monumental. Because we pray that there's others around this nation doing the same thing that I'm doing, as others in our church do, sitting out back or sitting in the evening outside or in their chair in the living room or whatever the case might be, that we are praying for God's presence. We are praying for God's answer to be revealed. We're praying for God to reveal himself even in the very instance of these things to let us know that it is going to be okay. And it will be okay. Could be some troubled times and all these things, but it's going to be okay. And so here again, whether it's things within the world, things in our nation, things in our government, or things in your own family, God has that comfort and peace that we need to go to, that we need to hold to, that we don't want and don't allow the enemy to take away that comfort and that peace that you have. And that's one thing that the enemy likes to do. Even when you're walking in peace, has anybody felt that the enemy trying to take your peace from you? We talk about walking in our healing. Has anybody ever felt like I've been healed, but the enemy wants to come and steal my healing? The enemy, as long as he's out there, is wanting to come, and he's just wanting to just antagonize you and just bite at the heels of you and just keep on you. And that's not to say he's going to succeed, but he's going to go about it at his own time. For we know what Jesus, in the desert, in that wilderness, when the devil left him for a more opportune time, the devil wants to just keep coming back on us. But the thing is, let him come back, because I know right now that my God never leaves me, and that my God is my source, and that he is surrounding me, and he is there with me, and he is walking with me through whatever it is that I have got to go through. It will be hard at times. It will be hurtful at times. It will be sad at times, but we will come out onto the other side if we remain strong in his word, strong in the conviction that my God knows better than what I do. And so we've got to remain that way. But then we are in a time to where there's some outside that don't understand that. There are some that go through a tragedy and their life has been rocked. And we've got to be what we need to be. Be what we need to be at the time that we need to be it. And God will put you in the circumstances and situations that he wants you to be in. And then we've got to be there and say, okay, Lord, what is it that I can do? Maybe it's just to be there to be present. Maybe it's to be there to just allow someone to talk, to share. Maybe it's to be quiet. But just your very mere presence there with someone going through a hardship is enough to get them through that. Have you found yourself at times when you're going through something and you're by yourself and it's still and quiet? That's what I know too, that my God is there with me. And he may not say anything to me, but I sense a peace, I sense a strength. I sense something with me that the world doesn't have, but that I have within the sphere where I'm at. Because, guys, we know with the Holy Spirit in us that the Lord is with us at all times. He's in us. He's around us, you know, and that he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And so it's in those quiet times that sometimes we need to be and that we receive from him. It's the same when someone is going through a tragedy. You show up at their door and you walk in and you're sitting in the living room or you're sitting on the front porch, kitchen table, whatever it might be. And maybe it's just being quiet, but you're there for them. And they see you and it's tangible for them. God is like that. When I look at this area of comfort, what is comfort? Webster says, comfort is this, to give strength and hope, to bring cheer. Another Webster definition would be, to ease the grief or to ease the trouble of. People are going through a troubled time. They're going through grief. And what is that? To ease the grief or that of the troubled is this, to console. We want to console them. In my times with God, I have had times where God has consoled me. And he has wrapped his arms around me. No, not physically, but yet I can sense it and I can feel it. When things have happened in my life or losing a parent or whatever, and I would say, oh Lord, just bring and give me comfort. And I had such a comfort that at first you begin to wonder what's wrong with me, because at this particular time, I'm not breaking down. I'm not crying and blubbering. I'm not stoic, but I have a peace and I got an internal strength. And it's him within me saying. And I asked him, I said, oh Lord. And I did my crying after the fact. So it wasn't like I was calloused. But then in my spirit, I heard my Lord say, but Tim, you prayed that you wanted me to give you strength to get through it. And I said, yes, I did. And he said, I gave you that strength so that you could hold up, that you could be a help to those around you. Because there's those around you that don't have that availability because they don't have that relationship with him. It's not that it's just you and him. It's free to anyone that would reach out and ask him to come into their life, and he would be there to give them that comfort. But isn't it sad, people, that there's a lot of people out in our world that will not go to God to ask him to bring them comfort? They go on their own. They hold it in. They try to go through it themselves on their own strength. And the strength that was holding me up at that time of the passing of my parents, it wasn't my strength, but it was his strength in me. Comfort, to give strength and hope, to bring cheer, or to ease the grief or the trouble of something, to console someone. The Collins Dictionary would say it's to soothe in distress or sorrow, ease the misery or grief, to bring consolation or hope. And that's what it's about. We have got something. I'm going to tell you, it's better than sliced bread. Hello. Sliced bread's pretty good. But what we have got with God in our lives and the ability that as we serve him, we have got something that the world doesn't have. And we sing a song about that, the love that I have. Well, the world didn't give it. The world's not going to take it away. I could turn that love that I have, I could turn it into the comfort that I have. I could turn it into the peace that I have. I could turn it into the strength that I have. The strength that I have, the world didn't give it, and the world's not going to take it away. Many people in the world do not have all of these things that we have as attributes from that of our God to get us through times of tragedies, to get us through times of hurts, to get us through tragedies in our lives. The people in South Carolina and Florida, my goodness, you know, the flooding and the mudslides and all of these things. The people out west with the fires and the floods out there, and what happens is the forest is gone, then all of a sudden torrential rains come and they have mudslides out there. People have gone through tragedies. But, you know, go back in history and there's been tragedies all the time. All the time. It's not just now because of global warming. Check your farmer's almanacs. Back in the 1800s, there was floods, there was mudslides, there was snowstorms, there was crazy things in the weather back in the 1800s. It's nothing new. But we have this time. We are charged, I believe, as children of God. And we're going to get there, but here, just, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okay, so, the Greek definition of comfort. So now I got into the Greek. And it's the parakleis, or parakleis, is what we would call it. Holy Spirit, right? That's comfort in the Greek. Definition of comfort is parakleis. A calling alongside to help, to comfort, to give consolation or encouragement. As a child of God, when people are running to and fro, when people are looking at the election, when people are saying this country is going down the tubes, we've got to stand there, we've got to console them and say, but God is in control, that God has a plan, that God has not given up on us, that he's going to find enough Christians. And we just went through a thing where BARDA research said there's like, 101 million Christians are not going to vote or something like that, just an astronomical number, which is ridiculous. That's that's what's causing the problems in our nation. The very people that should be praying for the nation and doing their duty, they're not doing it. They're letting it down. And so we've got what we've got because we got what we got. And that's what God is saying. You people have what you've got because there are some of you not fulfilling the call that I have put on you to be, what did we say? That watchman thing that we talked about that you'd handed out. The church, we as the church are God's governing body on this earth. See, I don't think the people in our churches, they're not being told that. They're going to just a little cutesy little service and, some music and a play and a drama. Oh, everything's nice. No, we've got to understand that we are God's governing body on this earth. The church comes together, we've got to be strong, that we have been given legal power from heaven. How many people in our churches don't realize they've got legal power from heaven? They're wishy-washy people out there. I go to church, you're just going to a building, you're just going to satisfy something for like 25 minutes and then you're done. That's just a check off the list to say, now let's go do whatever. No, but we have been given legal power from heaven, and we need to exercise that authority. 103 million Christians are not exercising that authority. Who's going to take the place of those 103 Christians? The evil. Evil will come out and do it because evil wants to succeed. We've got Christians that we want it a better way, but we're not willing to go out because we have got some people in our circles of Christians saying that both candidates are not fit for that office. You will not find anybody on this earth fit to run it like that if God would run it. But God will use people and he will work through the Kamalas, he will work through the Trumps, he will work through the Bidens, he will work through the Bushes, he will work through the Clintons, he will work through any and all because he puts them in the power. But to work through that, we've got to pray for them and support them and say, God, change their heart. God, work on them. God, move them from this to this. We've got people in those offices. We've got to have people in those offices. Once you get them in there, now let's have God control them. Amen? So whoever gets in there, let's just keep it in prayer that we pray for that office of the president. They're making these decisions. Let's pray for the underlines of that government that is really controlling the powers to be, that we don't know who they are, but guess who knows who they are? God. He can change their ways. He can cause what they want to do not to succeed. But it's going to take us praying. Guess what? We got to pray. We can't go to our churches and have our little social clubs and, oh, it's fall. Let's have apple pie and pumpkin pie and a fellowship and, oh, we're so cutesy. Let's take it and go with it and do what we're to do as the soldiers of God's army and pray. We are ambassadors. We are the spokespeople over this earth. 103 million people aren't Christians. I would almost believe that they call themselves Christians, but I think they're false. They've been distorted or whatever. They're looking at something that they want heaven on earth. It ain't going to happen until the return of Christ. Earth is going to still be controlled by the demonic. But God has the power to control those things and oversee those things and set people over and set the church over and for us to pray these things in and to stand in the gap. If I can find people to humble themselves and call on me, My goodness! And it's through the power of God that we are world influencers. You few that are here today, we can change the course of a river. We can change the course of a country. As God hears our prayers and our petitions, and as we are in line with His Word to say, Lord, not my way, but your way, and I pray for your moralities. I pray for your convictions. I pray for what you are standing on in your Word. I pray that America can fall back under that again, even better than when we were founded upon it. My goodness, if we could just come back just a fraction, just 3 degrees closer to where we'd been, it would be better than where we're at. And right now, we're like so far off of the mark, it's like we keep going this way rather than trying to get back up this way. You know, the Christian in our country has given up, and yet they complain. And they think of this and they think of that. Oh, my goodness. I remember reading one time in a paper that said, people are expecting the president of the United States is not the pastor of the nation. We have people in our churches thinking we're going to elect a pastor to run this nation like that of a pastor, and everything's going to be according to that of God's law. No. We got to put somebody in there, though, that we can pray for that can be changed. Look at yourselves. Did you not change when Christ came into your life? Did you change your ways, your thinking, your desires, and what you wanted to accomplish? That's the same thing that we find when we put a man or a woman, whenever that woman steps into that office of the high office of presidency, is they're there, but they may go in one way of serving the devil, but I'm going to tell you, my prayers could change that. And those in the government that are Christian, that are praying for their leaders, things can change, things can happen, but not when you've got 100 and some odd million Christians not doing a thing, you know. They're just out there like, oh, well, I'm not going to vote because they're not perfect. They're bizarre. He says this, she says that. Yeah, well, welcome to America, you know. And then last, because of our covenant with God, we are equipped and delegated by Him to destroy every attempted advance of the enemy. Year after year, decade after decade, administration after administration, Republican or Democrat, the enemy has been gaining ground. We know by looking at the past, many, even Republican presidents, always spoke of, oh yeah, we need to take them, we need to move our embassy back to Jerusalem. Yeah, we need to do that. They never did it. They talk about it. And the devil likes people to just talk about doing something good. The devil likes it when we talk about, well, I'm going to change. Well, I'm going to do that. And the devil says, yeah, just keep lying to yourself because you're never going to change because you're just pacifying yourself. But then it took Trump. What did he do? He moved the embassy back to Jerusalem, right? He said he was going to do it and he did it. He's crazy in other ways. Yes. Kamala, she's crazy in other ways. Guess what? I look at myself, I'm crazy. You're crazy. I can see things and we're not perfect. But we had somebody in that leadership that said, that's what needs to be. We need to be a friend. We need to support. And he goes, move it back. And we have to understand the importance that America plays in the world. Because then you began to hear news of other countries, well, if America put their embassy in Jerusalem, we're moving ours back there. See, God has blessed this nation to be a powerhouse to a point that other nations look to us. And they're looking at somebody that will run something and say something and do something, whoever that may be. Democrat or Republican, I could care less. I just want them to be a man or a woman of their word and get something accomplished. But the thing is, as we individually want to be people pleasers, sometimes we want to please people so much that we will set God aside because I want to please you more than anything else. We've got people in our government that want to please people rather than do the right thing. We've got people in our government that are controlled by other entities, by that of the power of the money. Money, 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 money. Or what I can do for you, you do for me, and I'll scratch your back, you scratch mine. We'll do this, we'll do that. It's been like that for a long time. Nothing new. And it'll probably remain that way until the Lord comes back. But I do think we have a power of ability to make a difference. I think there's so much going on in our nation and the troubles in this nation. And that this nation has no hope. That this nation is in distress. That this nation is sorrow. We're just sorrowful. There's so much yuck. That I think the Word of God's comfort can come to light to that. I can take this comfort and go from comforting somebody close to me or my family or a friend of mine that's going through a tragedy. Because that same comfort that I received from God, I need to take that and bring that and comfort them. I need to stand as we stand in prayer and stand in this nation. We have got to bring comfort back to this nation. We've got to bring, this nation is in distress. This nation is going down. This nation is in misery because of the leadership and because of the man and because of really the devil working through the resources that he's working through. But we can come against that. As I got into that, I never finished it, but the Pericles, this comfort comes to us by way of the Holy Spirit, and you can find that, and by the Word of God or Scriptures. In Romans 15:4, in Romans 15, it talks about in the heading of the beginning of 15:1, it talks about bearing others' burdens. The situation of our country of today, bearing the burdens of what's taking place. But in Romans 15, it says, we then who are what? Strong. Ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. Scruples is the weakness. We need to bear with the weakness of the weak and not to please ourselves. See, what I want to do, and when I, whether it's for the nation or whatever, as I pray, I don't want it to be for me, but yet I will be a benefit of it because I know God, it talks about in Timothy that if you want to live a peaceful, comfortable life, pray for those in leadership of your country, your nation, your government, whatever you want to break it down. So to do that, we need to pray for them. So I will have a benefit of it. Let each of us, in verse 2, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to the edification. Edification for that of building up. For even Christ did not please himself, but it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. And then verse 4, for whatever things are written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience being what? Perseverance and comfort of the what? Scriptures might have hope. See, even reading God's Word, the very Word of God, tells me that I will have what? Comfort. Psalms is wonderful for bringing comfort. It's wonderful for bringing peace. It's wonderful for letting you know that God is there with you through these times. But now it says that the Scriptures might have hope. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort do what? Grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, and that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. But this is that talking about that when we looked at this in the Greek definition, that it's through that of the Holy Spirit brings comfort, or as well as by God's Word, His Scriptures bring comfort. We have got the best of both worlds. Don't you believe it? My goodness. So in 2 Corinthians, here we are. This is where it started at, and this is where I got it. Started with this. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of what? All comfort. All comfort, not just some, not just a little. All. Who comforts us, in verse 4, who comforts us in all of our tribulations that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble or any other tribulations with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. as we have been close to God, as we have served Him, as we have seen His Scriptures come alive, as we have prayed, as we are being led by the Holy Spirit, as He is speaking to us, as He has brought us through situations in our own life, and we come comfortable out of that and say, oh, I have a peace, I have a strength, I know it's going to be all right, everything's going to be all right, amen. We've got that in our life so that we can share it with others. What He has done for me, He will do for you. But you got to start trusting somebody. You've got to start praying to God. You got to start walking with Him. You've got to start opening up the Scripture. You got to start praying. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You need to be forgiven of your sins and come into a relationship with God the Father. Amen. And all these things will be added unto you as well. It's there for the picking. It's there for the choosing. But you've got to choose it. Oh, Father, in the new century it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the Father who is what? It says here, full of mercy. Everybody say, full of mercy. Oh, yes, He's full of mercy and all comfort. I just don't have peace. I just don't have, I'm full of anxiety. I'm sitting on pins and needles. How come? Because you have this, you don't have God. You're not going to Him. You're not listening to Him. You're not going to His Scriptures. You're not looking at His Word. You're reading it, but you're thinking it's just words on paper. But it's words on paper that with the Holy Spirit in you, it's alive in you. It's working in you. It's in your very fiber. It's internal. You get the Word of God internally in you with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to walk in His Word. You're going to have His Word with you. You're going to sense His Word. You're going to see His Word in action. Those around you might go, I don't understand how you could be this way with this happening. And you're going to say, it's because I serve a mighty God. Yes, I'm not denying the problems. I'm not denying the hurts. I'm not denying the sadness. But you can dwell in that all your life. And some people like to stay right in their dooms and glooms. For whatever reason, they like to stay there. You try to give them encouragement, they stay there. You give them prayer, oh, speak to them. You think you're making headway, and the next week you talk to them, they're right back down where they're at. But that's these things here. But look at this. But this is, God is the Father who is full of mercy and all comfort. Thank God that God's got patience for all of us. I mean, I'm not perfect. He's had to work with me for a long time. But I could just envision just a little bit of God thinking like, my gosh, how many times are you people going to pray for this, and I've done this, but you're not doing it. Or you're not hearing me. You're not changing. You're not putting it behind you. You're not forgiving. You're not whatever. Whatever. But God, thank God for His grace and His mercy. He's listening and He's there. And we will pray again, and I'll lift a prayer for that person. But after a while, it's like, you know, you got to move. But anyway, you're saying, but Pastor, you're saying that to bring comfort to others, you can only bring comfort to others that are willing to receive that comfort. And I understand it. I, at times, am weak. And I say, Lord, I can't handle this. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. Lord, I don't know where to turn. I pray, Father God, would You help me? Give me strength. Give me Your strength. Give me Your direction. And then you got to listen. And then He begins to speak by that of the Holy Spirit. And then you begin to hear Him. And you start taking a step. God is the Father who is full of mercy and all comfort. He comforts us every time that we have trouble. Isn't that nice? Every time you have trouble, He's there. He's the comforter. The comforter has come. He comforts us every time we have trouble. This is the New Century version of 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 4. He comforts us every time we have trouble, so when others have trouble, guess what we get to do? Dun, ta-da! Let me see if I can jump without falling. Hey, I jumped not very far. I only got that far, but oh, Lord, I could have jumped going, whoa! Clear the front row. Pastor's coming in. be like a plane coming in on the landing of an aircraft carrier. clear the deck. He's out of control. Oh, so He comforts us every time that we have trouble so that we too can have others that have troubles, that we can comfort them with that same comfort that God gives us. God loves me. God comforts me. And I've got to take that same and hand it out. The Amplified, blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of sympathy, pity, and mercy, and the God who is the source of every comfort. He's the source of consolation and encouragement. We've already talked about that. Who comforts and consoles and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction. Yes, yes, yes. Good old children of God, we're going to have calamity and affliction. Anybody here been calamitied and afflictioned? Well, count it among the best. God bless you. I'm in the army of God. God is my source. I am going to prevail. I've got a good life. Well, what about 3 months ago? What happened on August the 3rd? Oh, well, life happens. Who comforts and consoles and encourages us in every trouble, calamity, and affliction, so that we may also be of a comfort and console and encourage those who are in any kind of trouble or distress, with the comfort, that consolation and encouragement that we ourselves were comforted with, we're going to use the same thing for them. It's called like pass it on. Anybody heard that, you know, back in the day? Here, I'm going to do this good deed to you, and you do pass it on. Pass it on. Pay it forward. Amen. Pay it forward. Now, just because God will comfort us doesn't mean that troubles will go away. We got to let people understand that. I never want to give them a false narrative like, oh, just come to God, come to Jesus, let him be your Lord of your life, and all of these things will go away. We don't want to give them that troubles are going to go away. We need to look at the comfort from God is that when we receive strength and encouragement and hope to help handle our troubles, we're going to do that and help others. See, God is using us. We are his hands and his feet upon this earth. We are the light in the darkness. We are the salt of the earth. We are his children of, oh, hallelujah. But people in this earth need to see that. They need to see God in the flesh. So we need to look at the comfort from God as we receive strength, encouragement, and hope to help with handling our troubles. If we are overwhelmed, that's a sign that we need to turn to God and give him even more time in our lives. Even us can be overwhelmed. Has anyone here been overwhelmed? And there's a point in time where, you know, this. Now, back when I was young, you'd say, this old guy needs to go out and have some time by himself to reconnect to God and get some infusion of strength and peace. And now I can say, this old guy, and I am really old. But is it OLD or just OL, just old guy? But we've got to turn and go to him as well. We all go through these things. But when God, oh my goodness, brings us strength through a distressful time, we then will be able to help others as well get through that particular time and comfort them at that time of their life. It's an interesting challenge. It's really good to be called upon to do that. But it'll wear you out. And sometimes you need to go and recharge your batteries. You need to get into a relationship even more with him. You need to regain that strength. We talk about, you know, fill us up with the Holy Spirit and refill us. See, as we go out and bring this comfort and this peace and the consolation, we're pouring out. And then if you don't receive again and go back to the storehouse and go back and say, Lord, oh, Father, keep me filled with the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me more. And let him refill you so that you can go back out and do it again. Come back to the supplier, go back out and give it out. Come back to the supplier, go back. It's like we all want to be little ants working in God's colony, okay? We go back, get filled up, take it out. But we need to do that. Even in our own church, we've got several people, myself included, but look at yourself, you too, you, everyone here, are going through situations, aches and pains and tips and falls and whatever the case might be. But as we go through this life, we find that God's word says, blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. We find that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. We find that, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I guess I should have started off Matthew 5:4, blessed are those who mourn. Psalms 34:18 is the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Isaiah 41:10, fear not. And then Psalms 145:18-19, the Lord is near to all who call upon him. Have you called upon him recently? To all who call upon him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. In Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, thank you, Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxieties on him because he does what? He cares for you. 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you have suffered a little while will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And then one other, Psalms 116:1-2. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy because he turned his ear to me. I will call upon him as long as I live. You're not alone. You're not alone. It feels like it sometimes. Even if no one is in that house with you, you're not alone. Father, I thank you, and I praise you, Lord, that your word says, and I find comfort in your words, that we are not alone, that you are with us. And Lord, as we come into times that we need comfort for us personally, you're there. You console us. You wrap your arms around us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us here today can take that same understanding and share it with those that we may come into contact with. But Lord, even if we go forth and just read the scriptures, Lord, as it said earlier, that comfort that we have comes by that of the Holy Spirit or by that of your word, by your scriptures, and that you will see us through these times. And I thank you for that. Lord, I don't know what our assignments are this week coming up, but you do. You know the very places we're going to be. And I pray, Lord, that we are able to give you honor and glory in those times. And that, Lord, you will touch their spirit. You will touch their brokenness. And you will mend them back, Lord, and bring that comfort. That, Lord, you will calm that stormy sea that they're on right now in their life. And, Lord, I pray that we don't do or say, but what we hear you say or do to show us. So, Lord, all glory comes back to you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.